Thank you for joining us online as well. We're glad that you are able to join us all over the world. There's people from all over the world joining us right now in many different countries. I think last time we noticed there's about, I think, 6 or 7 different countries that people watch First Open Bible and what God is doing here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Oh, you know God loves us because today is currently 47 degrees, getting up to 50-some degrees. Oh, hallelujah. Doing work outside, and my boogers weren't frozen, praise God, in the highest. Y'all laugh because you've been there, and you will be in about 1 month, hallelujah. My name is Pastor Harris. It's my honor today to bring God's word. I'm the lead pastor here, and God's got a word today. Anybody need a word? Amen, amen, amen. Kids are getting ready. The youth are getting ready to go to breakaway. Or they call it winter retreat or whatever they call it. Last week we had the man that started it all, started Breakaway in 1984. He was here last week, my father-in-law. He did a wonderful job bringing God's word and story, right? Anybody go get a cookie and think about Tommy? Right? Swimming! Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you weren't here. But it was a good word about trusting the Lord in all things. Just trusting him. Don't trust him in reservation. You trust him all in. You trust God all in. So if you feel it upon your heart, you want to get some scholarships for kids to get to go to Breakaway, there's quite a few youth that would love to go. It's usually between Christmas break or in Christmas break, right after Christmas before New Year's is when they go. And if you'd like to give any kind of scholarship, just mark it Breakaway or youth winter camp or whatever. We'd love that. There's quite a few kids that would love to go. They can't afford the total cost. So thank you so much for giving toward that. Man, we're in a new series this month. It's titled Holy Moments. Have you ever had a moment like that in your life where you're like, man, this is a holy moment? Anybody in the house? Amen? Amen. Say, if you have, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You ready for more?
Yes.
Amen. Good, good. Holy moments where you find yourself face to face with a choice that feels bigger than you. And how you respond might change your life or it might change the life of somebody that's around you. How do we know what to do? Together, we're going to see how unexpected moments can turn into holy moments. If you have your phone with you or you have a tablet or whatever, if you're at home, you can go to YouVersion, click on More on the bottom right-hand corner, click on Events, and you can find First Church of the Open Bible, our official name, and you can click on today's notes and you can hit Save, so you can save them for later if you'd like to follow along. YouVersion is the Bible app. It's free. You go to More on the bottom, go to Events, about 5, 6 down usually. First Church of the Open Bible's on there, and you can hit Save. Church, there was an unexpected moment that changed everything. It was the birth of Jesus Christ, God's begotten Son. It was a holy moment that changed human history. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says this, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child." First off, that's a miracle. "She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means, church, God is with us. Amen. Now, maybe you've heard this before, but it's been said that life is not measured by time. Life is measured in moments. This is true in many ways. If you think about it, we rarely remember a whole year or a whole month or a whole week, and oftentimes we don't even remember a whole day. But we do remember the moments in the year and the month and the week. And we do remember the moments in that day. Church, we remember the moments. I want you to quickly think back to your childhood with me. Some of y'all still in it. Go back just a teeny bit. Go back to your childhood just for a moment. Think, what do you remember? Do you remember the time or do you remember the moments? See, personally, I quickly look back at my childhood and I remember some pretty painful moments, but I also remember some wonderful moments as well. I remember going on vacation time, and I remember the places that we went with our family. I remember camping on the Oregon coast with the Boy Scouts. I remember my first bike. I remember mowing lawns and doing anything I could to save up to buy my first Super Nintendo. And I still have it. And no, you cannot play it. I know. Get your own. I remember my first kitty cat. I remember my first dog. I remember cutting down Christmas trees about this time every year with my family. I remember my first basketball season. I remember my first football season, my first soccer season. I remember my family moving to a new house and me going to a new school and getting new friends. I remember the first time I spent the night at a friend's house. I also remember my first fist fight on the playground. Anybody remember that? Okay. I saw some ladies raise their hand. All right. You know how girls fight. You just grab some hair and just throw it around. That's all you do. It's just, ah! Man, I remember my best friends from different seasons of my childhood. I remember my first girlfriend. It was a long, long time into childhood. It wasn't. It should have been. I remember accepting Christ into youth group. I remember my first job, saving up to buy my first car. I also remember when my family adopted two children into our family. And I remember when I got called into ministry. I remember a lot about my childhood. I remember the good, and I remember the bad. I don't remember the time, but I do remember the moments. Because life is often measured in moments. Isn't that true? Some of the moments I remember in my life the most are holy moments. When my natural was met with God's supernatural. When something ordinary became extraordinary. Now, the Bible's full of a lot of holy moments. And my prayer for you is that you, in your life, will have a lot of holy moments as well. So when I look back at my life, I hope that you can look back at your life and you'll remember not the time, but you will remember the moments, specifically holy moments. Now, we're starting this new series off by looking at different specific holy moments that are found in God's word, and it's about the birth of our Lord Jesus, God's only son. Today we're going to look at a very powerful moment of obedience. Everybody's favorite word, right? Everybody's favorite fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody loves to be obedient. Amen? Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. You know what? Without obedience, you'll never see breakthrough. That's from the Holy Ghost. We might not like obedience, but you'll never see a breakthrough until you are obedient to what he asked you to do. Church, you have no idea what God can do through your one moment of obedience. You have no idea what he might do through your one act of obedience to him. Some of you know this truth, because at one time, you were prompted to do something, to say something, or to give something. And you did something, and you did say something, and you did give something. And now you look back in your life and you say, wow, I can't believe all that God put into motion through my one small act, my one small amount, that one small moment in my life of obedience to God. Look what God has done. You know, there'll be times that you're walking with Jesus where you're going to feel prompted to say something or do something or give away something, and you won't know all the details. An act of obedience seems very difficult and hard at that moment. And so what do? You don't do it. Turn it off, girlfriend. Come on. Rocking around. Just put that in water. That'll help. Just put that in. Somebody help that girl out. The power button. Just try the power. You got it? Awesome. All right. Just put it in water. That helps a lot. Rock around. All right. Hey, this time it wasn't my squirrel, okay? There's going to be times in your life where God is going to ask you to say something, to do something, to give away something, and you're going to feel like, man, this is really hard. I don't know if I can do it. And guess what? You won't. Then you're going to look back at that moment in time and you're going to wonder, what did I miss out on? What did God plan to do that he didn't do through me because I did not obey in that moment? I didn't trust God. I hesitated what he asked of me. And that's why I titled today's message, Obeying is Hard. Amen? Let's dive into a very special portion of the Advent Christmas story. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you open up your Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the first four books of the New Testament. These are called the Gospels. They are the stories of Jesus Christ when he lived, when he was born, when he lived, and what he did in his ministry, and even how he died, and how he was raised to life. And the first one is Matthew. It's the first book. We're going to start, if you can open up your Bibles, we'll also probably have it up here. Matthew, we're going to just start in the first chapter. I want to read one verse. It's verse 18. Here it is in the NLT. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, marriage, she was engaged and then married to a man named Joseph. And church, I pray that by the end of this sermon, you're going to love Joseph. The Bible says, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, chances are pretty good that many of you are familiar with the Virgin Mary. Yeah? Mary gets all the sermons. She gets all the stage time. But today, I want to talk to you about Joseph, who is one, I believe, one of the most important yet least talked about characters in all of the Bible. One of the reasons why he's not talked about a lot is this part of the story is very short-lived, and it's most likely because Joseph was very short-lived himself. Another reason is there's not a whole lot of historical data or biblical information about Joseph, but let's talk about what Scripture does tell us about Joseph. It says these things. It says, we know that Joseph was a carpenter. These hands look nothing like a carpenter's hands. Little typing hands, right? What do we else know about Joseph? We also know that he was a righteous and he was a faithful man. We know that he was a descendant of King David, and we know that he was Mary's husband, and we know he was Jesus' earthly father, as we would call stepdad. Now, I'm stepping away from pulpit. Do you ever think that Jesus growing up, he's like, you know what? You can't tell me what to do. You're not my real dad. Just joking. I'm just joking. That would be sinning, and Jesus never sinned. Amen. But has anybody else ever thought of that before? I thought that. You can't tell me what to do. Father, look what he's doing over here. Oh, I'm playing. Y'all went with me for a moment. You're like, what is going on in that guy's head? Oh, this is just a touch. Now, we know a few things about Joseph in the Word of God, but outside of that, we don't hardly know anything else at all about Joseph. But here's what we do know. We know this, that his one moment of obedience helped bring about a change that impacts all of us today. Now, most scholars believe that Joseph most likely died because they would have not likely divorced A divorce would have likely been mentioned in the Word of God about this situation. And also, here's a cool fact. Jesus stayed at home until he was about 30 before he went on his earthly ministry. Interestingly, in ancient Middle East, tradition says that a child was to stay at home with his mother if she was a widow until about the age of 30. Isn't that interesting? Now let's read again. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the context of this story, Joseph was engaged to be married to Mary, and she was a virgin. Supposedly, who comes to him and says, "Hey, Joseph." There's two lines here, right? I'm pregnant. Like we just roll on. We just roll on past that, right? How many times in the Word we just read on and we roll on and we don't like put our feet in the room for a moment? Like put your feet in the room for a moment when Jesus says, "Hey, Joseph, I know we haven't been intimate yet and we're just engaged. We're not quite married yet, but hey, I'm pregnant. And no, I didn't cheat on you." He's probably like, "Psh, I've seen this before," right? This is not good. What do I do? And when Joseph hears the news, knowing that he has not been with his fiancée intimately yet, he would have been devastated beyond measure, more than we even understand, because in first century Jewish engagement culture, when you got engaged, it wasn't just a proposal announcement that you're going to put out on, you know, this video on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook and tell the whole world, like, bling, bling, like, look at this bad boy, right? No, that's not what that was like back then. In those times, a proposal was actually a legal agreement. When you were engaged, you were technically married, except you weren't allowed to consummate the marriage until the formal public ceremony that came later. So being pregnant during an engagement to the world, you know what that means? Mary physically had sex with another man. And this would have been a life-ruining scandal. Mary, the one that he loved with all of his heart, the one that was going to raise his children, the ones that he loved, and he gave up all other women and said, "That's the one." She has now disobeyed God, and she's totally dishonored her family, and she has disgraced me. She's disgraced Joseph. Church, this is devastation. Joseph is now going to be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, and shunned. See, sex before marriage, especially with someone other than your fiancé, was considered such a horrible sin that according to Deuteronomy chapter 22, Joseph could have legally stoned Mary to death. Remember, the New Testament was being written. They went by the Old Testament laws of Moses. But what was most common when things like this would happen, and they wouldn't happen very often, in these days, Joseph would bring Mary before the city council, and the council would then declare her guilty. "You are guilty. Guilty. And you, Joseph, your name is cleared, but her name is now ruined." After this, Mary would pretty much be destined to give her body away for the rest of her life to help support her and her child. Most of the time when something like this would happen, that woman would now become a prostitute for life. So now Joseph finds himself at a life-altering moment. The woman of his dreams has apparently betrayed him. And now his next actions would ruin her life even further. Joseph is now faced with an unexpected moment in history. What do we know about Joseph? Well, we know this. He was a righteous man, and he didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to shame her, so he thought about breaking the engagement. He thought about cutting it off. In our culture, what we'd call that is he would divorce her quietly. Now, right now, Joseph didn't realize that at one of his lowest moments in life was soon to become one of his holiest moments in life. Let's keep reading. Matthew 1, 19 through 20. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Let's stop there. Now, before we look at what Joseph did do, let's look at what Joseph didn't do. Joseph didn't explain away his dream. He didn't argue with God saying, wait a minute, angel of the Lord, hold on. You're asking me to put my name on the line for this woman who betrayed me? I don't think so. I've worked too hard to go another direction. I don't think so. Joseph didn't negotiate with God saying this either. Give me another sign. This time I want 43 angels singing in perfect harmony, repeating these exact words again to me. You know, he didn't fight back. He didn't ask for details. No, this is what Joseph did. Look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Wow. If there was ever one statement we'd want to be true about us in our life, when people look back at our life or people look at our life right now, I think it would be just like what we can look at Joseph's life like right now. We did what God commanded us to do. We were obedient. See, Joseph proves this powerful truth for us. You don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. Y'all hearing me? See, Joseph, he proves this powerful truth to us. Think about all the circumstances around him. And he has a dream from God, and then all of a sudden, he wakes up, and it says he did what the angel of the Lord said. And what he proves to us this morning is what we can hold on today. It's this, that you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. Church, you don't need every single detail. You don't need everything ironed out. You don't need to know how it's going to end. You don't need to know how God is going to see this thing through. You just need to be obedient. If God said it, then you should obey it. So now Joseph says yes. Anybody ever said yes to Jesus and you find yourself like going, hey, what? Right? This Oregon boy is standing in Iowa where winter is about to come again. Every winter I say, hey, what? Anybody ever done that before? Where you say yes to Jesus and you look around at all of the circumstances, you look around and you think, man, things got worse since I was obedient to what he said. And you said, man, what is going on here? But you still stand firm to what God called you to do. You're still obedient. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody in that right now? Our church is in that right now. Right? There's a remodel coming. We're praying for miracle money still. If you want to give to it, year-end giving, please do. Renovation. We're standing in a moment that I believe is a holy moment because it's an unpredictable moment that we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going to go. We don't know how it's all going to happen, but we know that God said make room, so we're going to do it. We have to be obedient. Even though we look around and say, hey, what? How's this all going to work? If God said it, church, then you should obey it. Now, Joseph had no idea the weight of raising a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. He said yes, but he had no idea what ride he was about to go on. He didn't know that in 9 months after this very moment, there was going to be a decree and they would have to go to Bethlehem in order to get a census. He didn't understand that you were about to travel 100 miles with a pregnant woman who's in the hot desert on an animal or however they got there. He didn't know all those circumstances. Joseph didn't know at the end of this trip that they get to the very end, and then guess what? There's no room for them in an inn. He didn't know their baby boy would be born in a barn next to farm animals. Joseph didn't understand completely, but he did obey immediately. That's a good word. See, at some point, God is going to speak to you through his word. He's going to speak to you through his people. He's going to speak to you through a message, a sermon, a word, a song, an impression. The Holy Spirit is going to put something in you. You're going to feel something. You're going to know something. You're going to realize something. And then God's going to lead you to do something without knowing all the details. And it might not make sense at the time. And you know what? It's probably going to be scary. And you're going to be a little bit uneasy. By the way, if you're not afraid of it a little bit, I don't think you stepped out of the boat far enough. But you know what? You're going to have to trust. Swimming. You're going to have to trust because God is calling you, church, to be obedient. I switched up a famous saying for this sermon today. It says this: do you obey or do you not obey? That is the question. You ever heard it, to be or not to be, right? No, this is the Holy Ghost version. Do you obey or do you not obey? Church, that is the question. And I want you to know it's not the question just for today. It's the question for the rest of your life following Jesus. Do you obey or do you not obey? See, God never called us to just watch what happens in the kingdom of God. No, we're called by God to be a part of what happens in the kingdom of God. So if God prompts you to do something or say something or bless someone, you're going to find yourself just like Joseph found himself in this moment where he said, do I obey or do I not obey? This choice may be hard. Why? Because obeying is hard. Is that truth? Obeying is hard. And guess what? You may not know all the details, but God is prompting you, and you have no idea what's just about to happen. So I want to encourage you this morning to remember this important reality. It's this: obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. A follower of Christ is someone who obeys God and then trusts him with the results. Some of you are having a very difficult time doing that next thing because you keep wanting all the answers, and God is not going to give them to you. Because what kind of trust would that be if you already knew the outcome of what was to be? Faith is the substance of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things that we don't see. You just keep on wanting to see things, but God's saying, step out of the boat, be obedient, trust me, and start walking. Obeying is hard. But obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. Let's look one more time at Joseph for today. Because of his obedience, Joseph got to be a part of one of the most holiest moments in human history. Pastor Mark said it in the beginning. The birth of Jesus is one of the most holiest moments in human history that has ever happened or ever will happen. Joseph didn't have all the details, And he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. And the angel continued and said this. Matthew 1:21 says this. This is what the angel's saying. And she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Come on. Ooh. Listen, God's talking to Joseph's heart, and he's saying this. Joseph, the child that's within Mary, your soon-to-be wife, by the way, I gave her to you. She's a gift. This child was conceived by my Holy Spirit. And Mary's going to have a son. And Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus. And Joseph says, why? Joseph, because he will save his people from their sins. And he will save you, Joseph, as well. Come on. Isn't that what Advent is all about? Isn't that what Christmas is all about? That God sent us Jesus? His birth was a miraculous holy birth, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, why does that matter? We keep saying that. Why does that matter? Here's why it matters. If this child had been conceived by an earthly father, conceived by the seed of Joseph or some other man, Jesus would have had the sinful seed nature that is passed on from broken human to broken human to broken human for generation after generation since the sin of Adam and Eve. But because he didn't inherit the sin nature of man, but instead inherited the spiritual nature of God, Jesus was born without sin. He lived without sin so he could be the perfect sacrifice to take away all sin. Come on. I don't know about you, but I need grace. I need forgiveness. I need Jesus to take away my sins. And God says, I need you to be obedient to everything I ask of you. Son, daughter, be obedient. Trust me. Trust me. Be obedient. And see what I will do. Worship team, can you please come? As we prepare to close, I'd like you to take out your communion elements right now, please. Hallelujah. I hope these are better than last time we had it, man. Everybody was like, hurrah, hurrah. You will drink that and you will remember the sacrifice. That's what you will do. You think that was bad? Go back 2,000 years ago. Trying to poison us. Yeah. Don't get the generic communion. Don't buy it. Don't buy it, Pastor, please. I'll give to it anything. You got your communion elements? At home, go ahead and grab something. If you don't have juice, it's fine. Take some water. It's a representation of what Christ has done. We're going to remember. We're going to be obedient. Now, when we participate in communion, it's an act of obedience to Jesus' command. He said this, do this in remembrance of me. Communion is an act of obedience and reminds us that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation in Emmanuel, who is God with us. We're a new creation because of the Savior of the world that came and was born to take away our sin. Now, Jesus died in our place and he rose again. God sent him to save us from our sins. I just want you to take where you're at right now, wherever you're at. I'm not saying physically, in your life, right now. If you're under the condemnation, If you're under the weight and the burden of sin today, I want you to do something. I want you to call out to Jesus. You know why? Because he's going to hear your prayers. He's going to forgive you of your sins, and today will be the day of your salvation. Today will be the day of your freedom. Today will be your day of deliverance. There's been miracles that have happened by just being obedient to what God says by taking communion. I'm praying that right now that this be a holy moment for all of us. We got time. We got time. We got time. Church, obeying is hard. It's going to cost you to follow Jesus. I often say this, God gave me this word a long time ago. Jesus, you gave all of you. So now I will give you the rest of me. Jesus, you gave everything, so I will give you the rest of what I have. I will be obedient to your commands. I'll be obedient to your voice. I'll be obedient to what you're calling me to do. I'll be obedient when I'm wrong. I'll be obedient when I'm right. I'll be obedient to give you glory. I'll be obedient to remember what you have done. I'll be obedient. But obedience, it's hard. But you have no idea what God wants to do through your one moment of obedience. Remember, obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. I want you to think real quick before I say just a couple more words, and then we're going to participate in communion. I want you to think real quick. How did you get here? Think about it. I know some of y'all didn't just stumble in here. Maybe some of you did. Thanks for coming. Some of y'all had to be obedient. It's nice out. I could do a lot of other things. Some of y'all online should have been obedient. Some of y'all couldn't have. And I thank you for joining us no matter what. Thank you. But you were obedient to what God has asked of you. Obedience isn't just in the big moments. It's also in the small ones. He has a still small voice. God was telling me this morning when I was praying and preparing that in the silence, first you got to get into the silence. That's when God's voice is the loudest. If you want to hear from God and know what you need to be obedient to, then you need to just shut out the noise every once in a while, and you got to get in the silence, because that's when he is the loudest. Like, man, I don't know what I need to be obedient to. It's because you haven't been listening. He is always talking to us. He's not only saying, I love you, but he's also telling you what to do next. Why? Because it's no longer for our glory, it's for his glory. It's no longer about our kingdom, it's for his kingdom. When we give our hearts to Jesus, when we give our lives to Jesus, it's not about a serving that we get served. It's about serving him. Jesus did not come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. To serve, to be a servant. If you want to be a believer, you better serve. And if you're not serving, you're not listening. You're not being obedient. What is God asking you to do? But I need to have all the answers. Pastor, I'm afraid of that thing. I don't know if I can do it. Well, that's a good place to be. If you think you can do it, I don't think God asked you to do it. Because God wants to be in it. And if God's in it, then he needs you to step out of the boat that you're comfortable with. Be obedient. I want to create an atmosphere for us to hear God's voice right now. Like God's going to do anything he wants to do. I submit to him. But I feel like he's creating a moment right now, a holy moment where you can hear his voice and he can remind you. Some of you have already been told what to do, but you haven't done it. And you feel like you're stuck because you haven't been doing what he's already asked you to. You're stuck until you're obedient to that thing he already asked you to do. What did he tell you to do? Where did he tell you to go? What did he tell you to say? What did he tell you to give? May you be reminded again this morning, Holy Spirit, speak. 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 We're listening. Speak. Speak. I want to be obedient. Church, your life isn't measured by years. Your life is measured by moments. So what God is calling you to be obedient to right now, what is that moment in your life? It's time. It's time. It's time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you for what you've done. Where would I be without you? Lost, broken, and full of sin. That's where I'd be. Bound for hell. But because of you, God, and through my obedience, because of what you did for me, I'm healed, I'm set free, and I'm walking in faith each and every day, and I'm bound for heaven. Hallelujah. I serve a good God, and he loves me unconditionally. He gave everything for me. He laid in a manger so one day he could lay on my cross. Hallelujah. If there's anybody in the house right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know him, but you're like, man, I don't know what that guy up there is talking about, but he seems pretty convinced. And there's something I'm feeling and I don't quite understand what it is. It's God nudging you right now. He is speaking to you, the creator of all creation. He loves you. He sees you. And at this very moment, he's calling you. He wants you to call back his name. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as Savior, will you? And you've never given your heart to Christ. Never done this before. I want you to raise your hand in the air and I just want to agree with you. Is anybody in the house today? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. If there's anybody watching online, if that's you, say it. I need Jesus. Just type that. I need Jesus. And the person that is watching online, they'll lead you in a prayer. They'll lead you. Prayer's not what's going to save you, but prayer's where it starts. You have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. It's words, it's belief, and it's action. Now, church, I want to ask us one last thing before we get into the elements. Is there anybody in here in the house today that says, I need to be obedient to what God's calling me to? If that's you today, just raise your hand. I need to be obedient to what God's calling me to. If I'm going to be honest, if you're not raising your hand, you're either walking in complete obedience or you didn't get the message today. There's not a soul in the house that should not be saying, God, I need to be obedient. I haven't listened perfectly in everything that you're calling me to. God, give me another chance right now. I ask for a holy moment. Meet me now. Speak to me now. I need you, God. Now let me pray. Father, I thank you for these holy elements that represent the greatest sacrifice that has ever been given. It's a sacrifice that was once given for all. We remember what you did 2,000 years ago. You thought of us. It says, because of your blood, we're washed as white as snow. Because of your body was broken for us, we are healed completely and whole. That everything we've thought, everything we've done, everything that we're about to do has been forgiven if we call on the name of Jesus. His blood washes us as white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. We remember. I thank you for your earthly father, Joseph. He made a decision to be obedient and do what the angel of the Lord said. He listened to what God said and he took Mary as his wife. He didn't shame her. He covered her. And because of that, he got to be a part of a holy moment that all of us read about every single year. Father, I ask that right now you help us to have a holy moment as well. Even right now, may our natural meet with your supernatural. Church, take out the bread, please. We remember thing that you just put on our heart, we can do that. It's the least we can do. Help us be obedient. Thank you for being the example of obedience. We remember your body being broken for us. We love you. In Jesus' name, let's partake. All right, try to take out the juice here. Oh, but the blood. Woo, the blood, the blood. May we never forget the blood. Father, I want to be transparent with you. I know that you know, but I need to know out loud that being obedient to you, I cannot do it on my own. I cannot do what you've asked me to do. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your anointing. I need more faith. God, I ask that right now you meet us where we're at. Because of the blood, you can wash me as white as snow. You can take my rags and put a robe of righteousness, God. You can put your ring on my finger, God. You can anoint me. When you look at me, you look at your son, and I thank you for that. And in that, I can walk in obedience because Christ has set me free. So I pray that right now, through this obedience, I ask that you anoint us. Give us more of your presence to do of what you've called us to do. We remember the blood. It was poured out for me. It was poured out for us. Oh, the precious blood. Oh, the precious blood. We remember. Let's partake. Nope, still not good. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to do this. One of two things, okay? I'm using my microphone to say, Pastor Mark, Rick, throw away what we have now and please reorder. Hallelujah. Thank you. Talk to Sherry. She can help us. No more cheap generic if that's what we're doing. We're going all in, right? Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if Schwann's has any of this stuff, but we should. Church, will you stand? If you can stay, I want you to stay just for this moment because we need to take this moment, right? I know some of y'all are leaving. I can see you. I see your heads. I see it. This is a holy moment. This is a moment where God is going to seal the deal if we allow him. I want you just to, if you need to close your eyes and just be in the moment, be in the moment, but ask God to speak to you. Father, what is it that I need to be obedient to? I love you and I trust you. I'm ready. I remember. And I can do it with you. Because all things are possible to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's worship one last time together before we go.